Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition. E-Bone in the studios here in Madison, Wisconsin, the world headquarters, lightly screening your calls. The lines, they're open right now, 844-967-2789. A glorious day in Madison, Wisconsin. And I got a fine co-devil joining me here in the Solidarity Realty Studios. He's Todd Alba from the Bob Smith Show. No, from the Todd Alba Show. Todd, welcome, co-devil of the day here on the Devil's Advocates, my friend.
I'm feeling naughty. I'm feeling like I have horns. I've grown them. Here from Southwest Wisconsin, I made it to the big time, the big show in Madison on the Devils. What's better than that on a hump day?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So join us today. Let's have a little fun. A couple of show notes. We'll have a couple of more fine guest devils later in the week. I got Joe Zepecki and Congressman Mark Pocan in studio with me tomorrow.
Wow.
No offense to you, Todd.
No, a United States Congressman, I will gladly defer.
And then I'm sneaking out to the National Association of Broadcasters show, Dom's European Vacationing. So Matt Flynn doing a three-hour show on Monday. Matt Flynn Direct becomes Matt Flynn sitting in for the Devil's Advocates. And then another fine Matt Rothschild, Batman, Cullen Batman's number on Tuesday, so I got you covered, folks. I'll be back on Wednesday. Dom will be back on Wednesday. We got a damn fine show today. Welcome to it. Todd, let's talk about, you know, the local big headline, great state of Wisconsin. Tammy Baldwin's in it to win it.
She is in it, announcing today, earlier this morning, that she is going to run for re-election in 2024, and Republicans don't have much of an answer.
You know, by Democratic senatorial standards, this is kind of late to get in the race. You know, at least by Tom Nelson standards, let's say. Let's not forget, Nelson announced his candidacy before the actual election in 2020. It was a long run, and it didn't get all the way to the finish line. But I think Tammy, obviously, has been gearing up for this. Last time through, Aaliyah Vukmer. Leah. Dom's girl. I cannot believe it's been, what, 6 years? Well, by next year, it'll be 6 years. 5 years since Tammy Baldwin last won re-election by Janet Protasiewicz's landslide. I mean, it wasn't even close.
No, it wasn't. And much like Dan Kelly, Leah Vukmir just was not a great candidate. I mean, I can say this now. I don't think he'd mind. The late, great Mike Ellis, former Senate Majority Leader on the Republican side, used to refer to Leah Vukmir in private as Nurse Ratchet. Because
as did I.
You know, I know.
Only I did so publicly.
Right. I mean, because she just had a terrible bedside manner. She was actually a nurse. And he always said, that's the last person I want by my bedside if I was feeling sick. She just was not a likable person. And, you know, as others have pointed out, Tammy Baldwin is someone you can have a real conversation with. And, you know, she'll listen to you.
We've had Tammy Baldwin on many times. And she truly is someone you can have a nice conversation with. Mm-hmm. I didn't know, you know, sort of depart from political talk for just a minute. I thought I originated the Nurse Ratchet for Leah Vukmir. I'm a little hurt to know that Ellis was saying it behind closed doors.
Maybe he was secretly a Devils fan and took it from you.
Didn't he get Project Veritas out of office?
It was a sad demise. I mean, it was basically, you know.
I wasn't sad.
Well, I mean, it was a. Compared to today's Republicans, and we had callers from Appleton on our show a couple of days ago who are used to be big Mike Ellis fans up in the Fox Valley. They now are voting Democratic because, you know, we've had these conversations on other programs on civic media. You can disagree on policy, but you have to care about Wisconsin. And Mike Ellis, you could disagree with him on policy, but you know, he's a former teacher. He cared about kids. He cared about taxpayers. Maybe different ways to get there, but he still cared about the state, kind of like Tommy Thompson. And, you know, anyway, yeah, he got the Project Veritas. Did like
Mike Ellis, sir, is no Tommy Thompson.
No, but you get the point. I mean, he was enormously entertaining.
Yes.
Yeah, and self-deprecating. Wore
I was
a
very
terrible toupee.
Entertained. I was very entertained by the audio tape commandeered by Project Veritas of Mike Ellis. And apparently he was out partying with then-state Senator Glenn Grothman that night.
It was, if my memory serves, he was across the street in the park where he frequented. And he wasn't drunk, I don't think, but he had a couple of drinks in him. And there was a staff person with
boastful
him.
Talking, perhaps.
Yeah, boastful
little
talking.
Courage.
And he loved to boast. I mean, what politician doesn't have a little bit of an ego likes to boast? And after a couple of drinks, he started saying some things about the inner workings of the Republican Party and taking a couple of people apart. And they basically recorded all that without him knowing and basically said, if you don't announce your resignation or you're not going to run again, we're going to take you out. And so he stepped aside.
Anyways, moving beyond the venerable Mike Ellis, now the departed Mike Ellis, let's talk more about Tammy Baldwin. Baldwin was highly successful. And, you know, it was not unusual that I turned on Righty Whitey Talk Radio. I often monitor, let's call it the, you know, inferior competition. But I turned on Deadbeat Dan O'Donnell today. And Dan was basically trashing Tammy Baldwin and said, you know, what has she accomplished? Absolutely nothing. That's what she's accomplished. And I'm thinking, what has Ron Johnson accomplished precisely? Did he name a post office somewhere? Maybe some Benghazi gate hearings? Maybe, you know, standing up for those affected by, you know, the detrimental effects of getting vaccinated. Trying all the drugs? What exactly is Ron's accomplishment? Tammy Baldwin worked very hard, my understanding is, for the workers, especially of Oshkosh Corp, trying to bring home the bacon, if you will. And as a U.S. senator, you've told me, and you've got some Republican insights. We'll talk about your resume in a minute, Todd, for those that don't know you well. But you got a few insights. And what do Republicans say about Tammy Baldwin?
Well, it's
business guys, anyways.
Sure, yeah, business guys. And some of the biggest ones are up in Wisconsin Dells. I mean, the hub of tourism for the state of Wisconsin. Some of these guys, you know, Tom Deal, a name that took over the Tommy Bartlett empire after Tommy Bartlett passed on. Other guys up there that run a lot of these big businesses in Wisconsin Dells, they love Tammy Baldwin. And the reason is she goes up there and she says, how can I help tourism in Wisconsin? She's gotten millions of dollars in federal transportation money to improve interstate highways between Chicago and Minneapolis to get tourists to Wisconsin Dells. Also, she's gone to bat for the Dells guys because you know what? It's not white high school kids from high schools going to work in the Dells anymore. There are a few, but it's a lot of international workers from particularly European and South American countries who, by the way, need help with visas, and Senator Baldwin has helped them get that. So the business guys in the Dells love Tammy.
You know what's interesting? This business Republican take on, you know, foreign labor pools. Of course, it's a very anti-immigrant stance we often hear on the Fox News. But immigrant labor drives much of what happens in the state of Wisconsin, in the barns, in the dairy industry, of course. And when Voces de la Frontera, our friend Christy Newman Ortiz and her fine organization, when they put the Latinos in the street for a day without Latinos, I don't know who's milking the cows that day.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's a lot 100%. Of people coming out of retirement that day to go and do some milking at the barns. But it is, I had a brother-in-law who's a little bit younger than me. And once upon a time, he was a lifeguard in the Dells, one of the big water park places.
Sure.
And, you know, just keeping these kids through the Labor Day holiday, whatever the, is it Labor Day? The last one, Labor Day, right? You'd get like a big bonus and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You would just stick for the final week.
Absolutely.
But obviously, so many of these kids weren't coming from Wisconsin like my brother-in-law did. You're right, man. They were coming from out of state, out of nation most often. And what is it, like J-1 visas?
Yep, they weren't, J-1s.
They weren't specialty. They weren't HB-1 visas. So they were just, we need more labor.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy how, you know, when it comes to business, Republicans can find a, a compromise on suiting immigration labor.
It's one of the dirty secrets of the Republican Party is that they will go out there and they'll spout off about, you know, America first and anti-immigrant, and that's all the stuff they run on. And then they call you. When I was working at the state capitol, we had farmers, to your point, in western Wisconsin calling us in our office in Madison former state senator Dale Schultz's office, begging us, don't do this. We can't run our farm because, you know, we're offering $17, $18, $19 an hour. We can't get local kids here to come work on the farm. They have to be immigrant labor. Same thing for orchards in the state of Wisconsin. And, of course, the same thing for tourist places like the Dells as well.
844-967-2789. I'd be curious. Your opinion on Tammy Baldwin. Now, she is labeled a progressive. Once upon a time, I had a little... let me give you a phone number. For those that don't have it memorized, I barely do. 844-967-2789. I can tell you, when Tammy Baldwin first left the U.S. Congress and announced her candidacy, I didn't have a lot of optimism for her campaign. I didn't think she'd ever beat Tommy Thompson. Man, Tommy, this guy's bulletproof, or so I thought. And I thought that Tommy had a great reputation as a guy that would reach across the aisle and get things accomplished. You know, whether or not you agreed with his personal ideology, everyone loved Tommy. Mm. And Tammy Baldwin, you know, obviously she didn't have that same sort of lifelong reputation politically. Once she won the seat, she has built some of that. And I thought it was, you know, easy for her to beat Leah Vukmir. Mm. You know, that was easy.
Yeah.
Who do you think's next?
A lot of rumors on the internet. I was in Richland Center with my family over the Easter holiday weekend, and I was on my phone to the chagrin of my family. But internet talk, Crudy, a guy who I have the...
What are the internet... What are people saying as Fox News?
What are people saying? I had the unfortunate displeasure of getting to know Tom Tiffany from the 7th District in northern Wisconsin in my time at the Capitol. Apparently, Tom Tiffany is thinking about a run to take on U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin.
Toxic Tom Tiffany.
You got it.
He personifies all things Republican right now. Pollute the land, lie to the people, support the big lie, and hate on Tammy Baldwin. You know, Dan O'Donnell, yeah. Whitey Righty and Fury host on the dial, seemed downright distraught. Apparently, it's too much losing.
I thought they were going to get tired of winning.
They didn't. Maybe the next time. You know, we got a presidential coming up and a big RNC debate coming to Milwaukee. We got news about that. Your phone calls, 844-96-PARTY. Tammy Baldwin, she's in it to win it. Do you love her or do you really love her? Come back, more Devils.
~60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Got a fine co-devil today. He is Todd Alba from the Todd Alba Show. They often play Freedom to start the show. One of your favorites.
Yeah, absolutely. A little George Michael. I think it's about just being yourself, about pursuing freedom. All of us as Americans love freedom. People like you, Crute, a veteran, fought for our freedom. Thanks for your service.
Well,
and all those other out there.
Fight for freedom.
Well, you were part of the military. You were put on the uniform.
I was willing to serve.
See, right there. That's all
freedom,
it takes.
But I didn't fight.
Well, you put the military
uniform on. Once in the barracks.
Once in the barracks? Really?
Oh, yeah. I had a couple.
Got into a little scuff?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you have to serve a time in the brig or anything?
No, but, you know, it was interesting because I'll tell this story quickly.
Yeah.
Because I really want to hear more about you.
Well, I think this is a cool story.
Todd Alba, but I was at boot camp and I was... after my sophomore year,
boot camp didn't take long. All right.
After my sophomore year in college, I was floundering. Iraq had invaded Kuwait. This was like 1990. I'm kind of dating myself. But I joined the Army, mostly because the Air Force guy wasn't there. Like alphabetically, went down the phone book. Air Force didn't answer. Army did. Huh? Joined the Army. And went off to boot camp and got in shape. You know, I gained like 15 pounds of muscle in the first 3 weeks of boot camp. A lot of push-ups. Mm-hmm. Our platoon was not what you'd call squared away.
Yes.
There were some guys that couldn't even march straight. But there was this big kid, and I'm fairly big. Those that don't know me, I'm like 6'2". At the time, 225, pretty muscular. Mm-hmm. And this big kid, Barger, a little bigger than me even, perhaps. We were practicing chucking like metal shelled hand grenades.
Okay.
Because that's an experience in the military. You never know when you got to just whip out a hand grenade.
Right.
And being able to chuck it down range adequately.
Yeah.
Because if you don't get it far enough away from you, you killed yourself effectively. If you drop that son of a gun, you're dead.
Yeah.
So we're, you know, going through the motions and chucking the hand grenade. But it's the military, so it's got to be competitive. You got to make some push-ups out of it.
Sure.
So each time the drill sergeant would take one hand grenade and make you scramble. Everyone's scrambling to go pick up hand grenades. And this is in Fort Dix, New Jersey. And it was kind of hot. You're getting a little sweaty, running down range, chasing these metal objects. And this big kid, Barger. And I was probably in better shape. I was a squared away soldier.
Yeah.
And so we were wearing these, the things you put your, I guess, like gun belts.
Oh, sure.
And it's almost like wearing suspenders for ammunition and differing things. Mm-hmm. So we're wearing these things. We got on our metal helmets. It's hot as hell. And we're full fatigues.
Yeah.
We're chucking it. And we're chasing it. And so I start pulling Barger suspenders from behind. Like I see him chasing after this one thing. But I'm like tugging at him. Like I'm not letting him go. I'm just messing with the man, if you know what I'm saying. So Barger gets to this this metal hand grenade shell first, and he picks it up, and he spikes it.
Oh, jeez.
Just missed my face. Hit me right in the crown of the helmet.
Cow.
And then he ran like hell.
I bet he did.
And when he stopped, like, he crossed the finish line, like, whew, got away from him. Well, come on, man. I can still see you. Right. So I flying tackled this guy, just like old high school linebacker days. Just, you know, blindsided him and just came up swinging, just laying into this guy. And my drill sergeant, Maston, came up within 10, 15 seconds. I probably got a couple licks in.
Yeah.
Nothing too wounding. He was covering up. But he pulls me up by my throat, grabs me by my trachea, by my windpipe.
Yeah.
And he's pressing his forearm against my windpipe. He's choking my ass out. But I still have the, you know, the momentary, the fight or flight.
Yeah.
I got the insanity in my eyes still.
Right.
And he's like, I'm going to keep choking you until it leaves one way or the other. And so, you know, through some non-breathing exercises, I calmed myself like,
right.
You know, I'm not breathing. So
right.
Eventually you calm or you pass out, one or the other.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because the punishment was I had to do planks.
Ugh.
On a concrete floor with my elbows.
Oh, my gosh.
Until I had a pool of sweat underneath my body that was larger than my body. Just from
whoa. It,
and Barger's doing it, too. And he was. And then, interestingly, the next day, they made me the platoon guide.
Wow.
So then they put me in charge and said, get the rest of these non-marching straight soldiers squared away. But at that time, I mean, it was they were preparing you for war.
Right.
I got one more quick story, then I want one from you. Woke up one morning, you know, bright and early with Reveille at like 4 o'clock, and I'm doing calisthenics at like 4:30 in the morning.
Sure.
It's still dark out. I don't know anywhere at any time of the year where it's bright and
4:30,
you know,
no.
You're in the chow line by 5. So I'm doing my sit-ups, and I'm tired, and it's dark, and I'm like, God, nobody notices. I'm just kind of blowing off a couple of my sit-ups.
Yeah.
And I'm just about to get relaxed, and I feel like a stirring in the force. And I open my eyes, and on either side of my head are these ultra-shine combat boots. You know, like I can see my eyeballs reflecting off them, even in the dark. And it's Drill Sergeant Maston, the same guy that choked me out. And he's looking down at me, you know, Crudy. And he, you know, of course, many expletives.
Exactly.
Do you know why we make you effing do all these sit-ups? So when you take a gut shot, you might live long enough to make it to the battalion aid station.
Wow.
How's that for motivation?
Wow.
So these guys literally gave myself and the other squad leaders the keys, and there was hazing, let's just say.
Yeah.
They encouraged it. They said, you know, if someone's not complying, they need to, because they're going to get people killed.
Yeah.
So it was a life-changing experience, not for the better. I mean, I'm a much hardened human being through even that 2 or 3 month experience. When I joined the Army, they called me Smiley.
What did they call you when you left? Can you say it on the air?
Not sir, but usually it was yes, platoon leader or whatever. Yeah, yeah. It was a designated position, not equivalent to rank, because I was like an E2.
Right.
You get one line. You know, when you start in the military, you don't even get the line. You get nothing. You know, there's a rank below private where you don't even earn the line on your uniform, and you're like, someday you get to work up to a line.
Exactly.
Someday, Todd Alba, I'll let you tell a story.
It's all good.
It may be today.
That was a great story. Thanks for your service, crew, and all the others like you.
Well, hopefully better men than I and women. Come back. More Devil's Advocates. Tammy Baldwin. She's a better woman than I'd ever hope to be, and a better U.S. Senator than Ron Johnson would ever hope to be. Come back. More Devils.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition. I got a fine co-devil for the day. Is it okay if I call you a reformed Republican, Todd Alba?
Absolutely.
Most importantly, he's Todd Alba, the host of the Todd Alba Show right here on Civic Media, currently 8 to 11, but there will be expansions, not in the hours, but in the market. So if you don't get him right now, he might be coming to a city near you real soon. And we always love when we hear from our audience all around the state of Wisconsin, all around the world, on the Civic Media app. 844-967-2789. U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin has announced her reelective campaign effective today. I think it's going to be a landslide. I don't care who the Republicans run. Jeannie from Eau Claire, how you been, sister? Welcome back. Hello, Jeannie.
Hi.
How you doing, sister? Welcome back.
Hi, guys.
Are we losing you, Jeannie? What?
Oh, no. It went silent for a minute.
Well, okay. That's because we're waiting for you to talk, sister.
I just really want to say that I really love Tammy Baldwin, and I think she's an outstanding representative. She works 24/7, you know, for all the residents of Wisconsin. She's a workhorse, not a showboat, and the people love her, and she takes her job seriously. She's honest. She has integrity. She's a true public servant. Couldn't ask for better, and I'd give her an A+.
Well, that's why other Republicans hate her, because, you know, serving your constituency and actually being, you know, sort of open to the needs of your constituents, it's so foreign to Republicans these days. When a representative, when a senator actually does it, it makes them seem invulnerable by comparison.
Yeah. Well, thanks for talking about her. I'm excited. Thanks, guys. You have a good day.
Thank you, Jeannie. Our pal Jeannie from Eau Claire, one of our favorites. 844-967-2789. You don't get to be a friend of the Devils without calling us, you know, and having a good take occasionally. Jeannie's in the Caller Hall of Fame. We've enshrined her.
She has her own promo lineup. You know, she's on all over. It's fantastic.
Jeannie is very, very good. As are you, Todd Alba, the Todd Alba Show. Todd, why would people want to listen to a reformed Republican talking about politics? What's your claim to fame? What's your resume, fella?
Well, growing up in Richland Center, Wisconsin, right there. That's
all you need.
That's all you need.
For a life of broadcast.
No, I grew up in Richland Center, 5,000 people, southwest Wisconsin, halfway between Madison and La Crosse. Got started in radio in high school between my junior year, and went on the air there. Engineering Brewer games, as it were. You remember it, Crudy, when you had to actually play the commercials on like an 8-track cart, and was given an opportunity there by Ron Fruit and Phil Nee, who is still with the station, now with Civic Media at WRCO, and just loved it. Went to school at Platteville, went to Richland Center, first of all, then the Platteville. It was a communication broadcasting major. But also got into politics at 12 years old when I got lured into.
Well, doesn't everyone?
Right. Well, you know, I was a kid who was born with a speech impediment, was kind of nerdy and didn't have a lot of friends. And I went to, I had a great teacher in fifth grade, Otis Scott, Richland Center, before internet. And he had to actually make something called a bulletin board. And he had to go to a county fair and get flyers and posters. 1980, Ronald Reagan was winning or running. Bob Caston was running for the U.S. Senate. And Steve Gunderson was running for the U.S. Congress on the 3rd District on the western side of Wisconsin. So I go and meet the county party chair. I get these posters. And we win the contest. And that fall, all three of those people won in the elections. And I thought, well, this is easy, right?
Thanks entirely to your strong canvassing on their behalf.
Exactly. Those yard signs and knocking on doors at 12 years old. But no, it was addicting. And then I met a guy in 1982 named Dale Schultz, a young guy who was running for state assembly, who, of course, I ended up working for on and off. He calls me the Billy Martin of the Schultz office, although I was never fired like Billy Martin. But I worked for him.
That's not the way Dale tells it.
I'm sure he doesn't, but worked for him. I also worked for a former U.S. Congressman, Scott Klug, here in Madison. Of course, Tammy Baldwin ended up taking his seat after he retired, but got into politics for several years, worked for people like Dale and Scott Klug, who were truly more moderate Republicans at the time, something that doesn't exist. And then I worked for Dale when he was Senate Majority Leader, and then his last stint in 2010 was his chief of staff during Act 10. And that's why I was in this closed Republican caucus meeting, where I witnessed people getting up in the closed caucus, the so-called voter suppression or voter ID bills that were actually voter suppression, and were giddy about taking the rights, constitutional rights away from poor people, from people of color, and college students. And that was a bridge too far for me. And I said, I can't do this anymore. So I left the Republican Party in 2011, continued on with Dale.
And you got on MSNBC, man. I've been doing this for a decade plus. I've been on Fox News plenty. MSNBC, right here, baby, 844-967-2789. Rachel Maddow, you got your start and talk radio?
It's true. I ended up getting, after Dale left office in 2014, I got into the coffee business. I had a small business here in Madison. And one of my employees happened to be a Mexican-American born here in the country, but he had been really excited for going to vote for Bernie Sanders in 2016, never voted before. It was like 22, 23. And long story short, he went to get a new driver's license in Wisconsin so he could have a voter ID to participate in the primary, wasn't able to because of those exact bills that Scott Walker ended up signing into law. So to have seen that, Crudy, at the beginning, and then to see it in 2016 play out exactly how the Republicans wanted it to, infuriated me. So I took to Facebook and spouted off, and yeah, ended up on MSNBC and had my 15 minutes of fame.
You know, I've got to envy your 15 minutes of fame on MSNBC. I've never yet gotten there.
Chris Hayes, great guy. Did it here in Madison?
I wouldn't know. actually, I did briefly meet Chris Hayes at a presidential level spin room.
Oh, did you? Yeah.
But I had to go intrude upon his company. He didn't invite me into his bubble. 844-967-2789. The Todd Alba Show does play out 8 to 11. Now, I claim you're originating out of Richland Center, but, you know, you work in the same office I do. Yeah. You're right here in Madison.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is the heart of where the politics are happening, much of them in the state of Wisconsin. And we just moved the whole Mad Radio facility up to State Street. Now, everything I should say, except this fine broadcast studio. So we're like two men without a country down here on
right?
University Ave.
We're sitting here in a couple of boxes.
And the rest of the network operations are up there about a block away from the state capitol. We'll join them there soon. And you can join us on the phones. 844-967-2789. Be like Drew from Lake Mills. Welcome back, Drew. How you been?
Great. How are you guys doing?
Well, fantastic.
This weather is incredible, and the company's only half bad.
Hey, I'll take 80 degrees and 80 mile per hour winds anytime over winter. So,
yes, sir. Me too, Drew. Tammy right, Baldwin, you calling thought. About? What's your thought today?
Well, so Tammy Baldwin and Ron Johnson introduced the bill about cheese, right?
They did. Like, okay, gotta have milk or you can't call it cheese, something like that. That was the takeaway I had.
Crudy, I need you to look into your crystal ball and tell me how many days is it going to be before the almond milk lobbyists get to Ron Johnson and he pulls his name away from that bill?
Well, I was just under pressure. I wasn't actually ever going to vote yes on that. I was just trying to get away from the press.
It's going to happen. You know it's going to.
Well, his yes will turn into a no eventually. Probably when there's enough critical momentum that it might actually occur, Drew. But, you know, I don't know. It's not like, you know, overturning the will of the electorate through a false elector scheme. I mean, nothing small potatoes like that.
It's not, but you know he's going to cave once somebody writes him a fat check.
You know, I thought he was a rich man. I don't even understand why. Does the 180, Drew, I really appreciate you listening, man. But does the $184,000 a year job approximately a U.S. senator gets paid, is that a good enough reason to sell your soul? It wasn't like Ron was broke.
No.
He gave his first campaign $9 million. I mean, I have seen rich people buy U.S. senators, but when you buy yourself, it should be cheaper than $9 million, shouldn't it?
You'd think so. But I mean, again, for me, Crudy goes back to, I've heard you talk about this before, the time he spent over in Moscow with Putin. I mean, why do you do that on the 4th of July? Are you selling yourself out? And what do they have on you that keeps you there? Because does he just not want to spend time in Wisconsin? Does he not want to be involved in this business anymore? A business, by the way, that he inherited from his wife's family. What is it? I mean, what is it that he has to sell himself out constantly to the right and the money machine? I don't get it either. It's weird.
I didn't think he needed the money. Now, Tom Tiffany was mentioned as a potential Tammy Baldwin opponent. Assuming Tiffany wants the job, I think he would be crushed.
Yeah, you think?
But Mike Gallagher might pose a greater threat. Gallagher, the congressman from Green Bay, I think he ran unopposed, which is very troubling. The Democrats didn't find a suitable opponent. It's hard to turn out yours up and down the ticket if you ain't gotten up and down the ticket. But Mike Gallagher has a let's just call it a more compelling resume with the military service, et cetera. And you tell me they play this guy like he's a moderate. Is he a moderate?
My dad and stepmom live in Shawano, which is basically in Gallagher's congressional district there outside of Green Bay. I think his team has done a great job marketing-wise as marketing this guy as not a mega nut job QAnon person. That he's much more mainstream, like you say, plays on the military stuff, but not to the point that Derek Van Orten, the insurrectionist, does over the third. Actually, like you say, hey, you know, I wore the uniform, I support veterans. Something that's very palatable to people in his congressional district. So he comes across as more reasonable. He's well-spoken. He's good-looking. And he comes across as a normal person. If you look at the policies, things he's voted on, and he's in line with most of the mega things out there and the Trumpism. So I think he's a more formidable candidate. The question, Critty, for me is pretty cushy position. Being the majority of the House of Representatives, having a House chairmanship now, a high-profile one, this China issue and Taiwan going on, do you really – he's not a dumb guy. Looking at the numbers, do you think you really want to give up what you have to try to overcome an uphill battle to beat Tammy Baldwin?
Now, explain this to me, and I forget how this works. Would he have to vacate his seat to run for U.S. Senate? It seems to me like people – I know that Paul Ryan ran for VP and somehow – retained his congressional seat.
If memory serves, by the book, you know, by the law, you can theoretically run for both your House seat and U.S. Senate. It looks pretty politically bad, and most people will tend to give up your House position in order to run for Senate. But I think you can circulate nomination papers for both.
Just kind of hedge your bets.
Yeah, exactly. Which doesn't really mean, I mean, it looks terrible. And the ads that Tammy Baldwin's team would come up with, you know, how committed is this guy to really doing this? I mean, like you say, she cleaned the floor with Tommy Thompson. Of course, part of that was, you know, Tommy just forgot who he was and let the goose-stepping 28-year-old in Arlington, Virginia run his campaign against Tammy. And Tammy had the best line of a Wisconsin campaign perhaps ever. He's not the Tommy you remember. And he played right into it. And she cleaned his clock.
She did.
And remember the other thing, Crudy, we talked about the Dells and immigration issues and things like that. The dairy industry, Crude. $7 million is what Tammy Baldwin, Senator Tammy Baldwin, brought back to the state last fall in dairy and agriculture support for the state.
Yeah. Farmers like Tammy Baldwin.
They love her.
You know, the progressive labels never really seemingly hurt her politically.
No. But she's authentic. She's genuine, right? I mean, she says, hey, I grew up in Madison. My grandmother was one of the first attorneys in Wisconsin, went to UW Law School. She's very authentic. She is who she is. She doesn't hide who she is. And I think people, even when you disagree with somebody, Crudy, if they're authentic and they're genuine, you can respect someone. And Tammy Baldwin's the kind of person you can respect, even when you don't always agree with her.
Well, I hope you respect the hell out of me, man, because I'm always authentic.
I respect you because you write my check.
I do not. That's not even my role here.
I'm kidding. Of course I respect you.
I play no part in the money, except hopefully the stacking thereof. But only if we get, proper commercial support.
Yes.
And, we got to take a little break right now. Run a couple of ads.
Pay some bills.
Stack some nickels, dimes, and quarters at least. And I got some troubling breaking news out of the great state of Wisconsin, especially those of you listening in Waukesha, W-A-U-K territory. You know the teacher who said the school banned Miley Cyrus and Dolly Parton's Rainbow Land? She's been suspended by the school.
Judas Priest.
A little retribution. Come back, more Devil's Advocates.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I'm Crudy. That is Todd Alba, my fine co-devil for the day. Tune in typically for the Todd Alba Show. Here, Ebone, I thought you were going to play Rainbow Land, and that was not Rainbow Land. The Waukesha, Wisconsin teacher who said the school had banned Miley Cyrus and Dolly Parton's Rainbow Land has been placed on administrative leave. Let's see if there's any link between these two things. Drake Bentley and Alec Johnson at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Melissa Temple, the Waukesha teacher, who said the school district's administration banned students from performing the song Rainbow Land by Miley Cyrus and Dolly Parton, has been placed on administrative leave. Temple, a first grade dual language teacher at Higher Elementary, confirmed she was on leave from the Waukesha School District in a text to the Journal Sentinel, but deferred any further comment to the Alliance of Education in Waukesha. The Alliance is a group of mainly Waukesha parents who announced Monday on social media that they want Superintendent James Siebert to be investigated for the discrimination of LGBTQ plus students and staff, accusing him of repeated discriminatory actions. The Journal Sentinel reached out to Siebert's office, but has not yet heard back. Siebert said in March the decision to pull the song was based on, and here's his quote, whether it was appropriate for the age and maturity level of the students and because of social or personal impacts on them. Rainbow Land's going to have a personal impact?
It's ridiculous, Crute. I mean, a song like this by Dolly Parton and Miley Cyrus about getting along with each other.
There's a little bit more from the Alliance. This superintendent and board began the march towards marginalization last year, and it has only served to stoke fear and sow distrust in the Waukesha community, which has yielded a pattern of bullying against anyone who calls out the district's bias and harassment. Now Waukesha is a national laughingstock.
Mm-hmm.
And the blame for that falls squarely to the feet of the director's leadership, not those who have had the courage to hold them accountable, like Ms. Temple. What say you, Wisconsin? What say you, Waukesha? 844-967-2789. What say you, Todd Alba, man? Do Republicans even choose to govern anymore? Do they ever seek to find any sort of issues that they can govern through? Because this doesn't feel much like governance. And I realize this is a school board and whatever, but
that's a great point.
This reflects the sentiment of the Republican Party.
Yeah, and it's a great point, because what we saw, especially after last week when Judge Janet Protasiewicz hammered Dan Kelly at the polls, is now, I know you've been following this, you and Dom, we've been following it on our show, is Republicans have this narrative now. We're going to get into it, I think, later with Scott Walker. But it's this narrative of just they're out to get you, indoctrination. And so they're attacking educators. And so now what's happening, are the Magites and the Trumpster people are creating coalitions, tickets, if you will, to run for local school boards, to take over local school boards. They don't know anything about education. They never taught a day in their life, never went to college for education administration. They simply know that teachers are the enemy and our kids are being, quote unquote, indoctrinated. And this is the kind of crap you have. And to get to your point, no, Republicans have no real ideas. Look what they ran on. Absolutism on women's health care issues on abortion. They lost. Absolutism on authoritarianism and drawing gerrymandered maps, the worst maps in the country, and they lost. Republicans are fresh out of ideas, and this is why this kid who grew up in Southwest Wisconsin, where people might have disagreed, but they put the community first, got out of the Republican Party because those people were out of ideas.
Todd, do you want to hear a shocking admission on Righty Whitey Talk Radio today? Dan O'Donnell said effectively the Republican Party is going to have to find a way to reinstate abortive rights.
Mm-hmm.
And the sooner they do so, the sooner they can start winning elections again. But effectively, you know, he's like, well, I'm pro-life, but I'm willing to effectively compromise. If that is really your heartfelt principles, he's willing to compromise all of that for a few more electoral wins.
Yeah, it's all about winning in power. And a lot of that, of course, we know is driven by money. And our friend Matt Rothschild does a great job tracking all of that. But here's the thing, Crudy, agree or disagree. What I'm making sure that trying to get the message out is I'm not yelling at my neighbor who's putting a red sign and where my blue sign is out there. It's the leadership, the Republican Party in Wisconsin. It's the leadership in Washington, D.C., the Republican Party, who is doing this. There's a lot of great folks in Waukesha. W-A-U-K land, the Shaw. A lot of great people down there listen to us. It's these yahoos that are in charge that are trying to divide us amongst each other.
I don't disagree. 844-967-2789. Our friend Mark from the SAC. Mark, I know we missed you yesterday, but welcome back. What do you got for us?
Yeah, it just seems awfully odd. You know, what next from these guys to ban the old song Ebony and Ivory by Paul McCartney and Michael Jackson?
Great song, by the way.
Song about, you know, getting along with one another. I mean, it is just ridiculous that these guys are banning books. Apparently now they banned an Anne Frank book, but in some places that, and I can remember that was popular this is going back to like 1970, and that was a book offering by the Scholastic Book Club.
Well, Mark, there's an effort afoot amongst Republicans, I believe Missouri specifically, ban libraries. Defund the public library.
Lord. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good Lord. That's part of our national heritage is libraries.
I mean, nothing good in those books. They just inspire thinking. That's no good, Mark.
Oh. Start burning different versions of the Bible you don't agree with. I mean, it was just, because that's seen in recorded history as well.
Well,
it was just a...
You know, the weather's gotten nice, Mark. I'm using my King James for kindling. Got to make me a campfire because, you know, if you believe the King James version, you know, that is sacrilegious.
And remember, Crudy, the first song they tried to
appreciate
ban,
your call, Mark.
Sorry about that. Remember the first song they banned down in Waukesha, they reversed themselves, was Rainbow Connection by Kermit the Frog.
That's not appropriate.
If it's rainbows and unicorns, it's got to be gay, or so this line goes. It's terrible. And think about the message this is sending to our kids. And as a guy who grew up in Southwest Wisconsin, a town of 5,000 people, a closeted gay kid until I was 38, by the way, it's a terrible message to send to our kids who might be a little bit different. And the encouraging thing that I have is you look at Gen Z. People are becoming more accepting of one another. They're not so judgmental. And it gives me hope that this Gen Z is finally getting off their rear end and voting and making a real difference. And congrats and props to them.
Well, the kids might be all right, but I'm not clear that Republicans are. And it's funny, you mentioned Scott Walker and his recent accusation that it's the indoctrination of the kids. And I'm thinking it's a 10-to-1 margin, at least in Dane County, around UW-Madison districts. They voted for Janet Protasiewicz by a 10-to-1 margin. Mm-hmm. Your candidates are really unpalatable.
Yeah, 100%.
Now, here's a great song. I had not heard it before they banned it, but now, you know, if we got to play this every hump day, we'll do it, man. Rainbow Land by Miley Cyrus and Dolly Parton. We'll play it in Waukesha. You can hear it on 540 AM WAUK. Come back. The Happier Happy Hour with Todd Alba, Crudy, Ebone, and you on the phone.
What are we going to do, Crudy? You check out the alcohol. How can it be a happy hour?
Ebone, we need you to run across to Steve's quick. Come back. More Devil's Advocates with Todd Alba, Crudy, Ebone, and you. We are rainbows, me and you. Every color, every hue, let's shine love.
Together we can. Am I so out of touch? No, it's the children who are wrong.